Judy, have you been in here? Have you been in the studio during the Booba Booba Boo song?
What in God's name is that? It's
the most luscious song of all time is what it is.
The most luscious, did you say?
Yeah, it's the most luscious song of all time. It's number one on the hit parade this week, Judy.
Wow.
Up three spots from number four. Ima Sumac with Booba Booba Boo.
You've been waiting a long time to say that.
Yes. Do you miss Casey Kasem as much as I do?
I do miss Casey Kasem.
I miss Casey Kasem something awful.
There's something nostalgic about hearing that on the radio, you know?
Yep. Every Sunday, he would do the top 40.
Yeah.
And it was hard.
When it mattered.
When it did matter. It doesn't matter as much anymore, but there was a time where
it mattered.
We
would go to the record store and get that sheet.
Sure.
And then we would listen to whatever was number one.
I can't tell you how disturbing it was for me to find out that Casey would go into a studio and just record the ins and outs. Like, in my head, during America's Top 40 with Casey Kasem, I always imagined him listening to and enjoying each of the 40 songs.
And now you just ruined it for everyone else.
I found out later, and now everybody else knows, he would just come in and introduce a song, you know, here's Jerry Rafferty, number 12. And he would just say that, and then he would do the next one.
He could do that, like, the day before.
Yeah, he would. He would do it the day before.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that upsetting?
Hmm.
But on the flip side, I was also very excited to find out that not only was Casey Kasem Casey Kasem, but he was also Shaggy and he was Robin on Super Friends.
That's funny.
Oink, oink, Scoob. I'm also Shaggy. See, when I found that out, I go, that's the busiest working guy in the world.
Now then
Casey
you loved
Kasem.
Him again.
Yeah. Can I tell you an inside story about Casey that I
Please.
Think you'll find endearing? When Wendy and I worked together at Q101, I did a character on the show named Kirby Gruder, who was our intern. It was just a character I did on the show. And Kirby's dream was to be in radio. But he had the world's most mild case of, what's the disease you have where you just shout out swear words?
Oh, Tourette's?
Tourette's. So Kirby had the mildest case of all time of Tourette's syndrome. So he'd be talking, and then all of a sudden he would just say, bottom, or something like that. Cleavage, like that. So we had him on.
Oh, those words.
Yeah. They were just real mild.
Words for the radio.
Right. It wasn't like a lot of times with Tourette's, you say horrible,
horrible
things. But Kirby's case was just so mild that he would just say that. So when we had Casey on by phone, Kirby wanted to talk to him. So he did. They had a conversation. And then in the mail about 2 weeks later comes this giant box, like 3 feet long and 2 feet wide. And Casey and his wife Jean sent Kirby, quote unquote, it was me, a character I did, a bag of everything, of books and T-shirts and you name it. They
Aww.
Sent it along with a note that Casey
to
wrote.
Kirby. So,
yeah, dear Kirby.
Because he thought Kirby was...
He was sure he was real, but he just said, never give up on your dreams and, you know, take the adversity that you have and turn it around and make it a positive and you'll succeed and someday you'll be the greatest DJ of all
That's
time.
That's like the saddest story I've ever heard. And did you ever let Casey know that
No.
you duped him?
No.
And did he offer Kirby a job? That would have been.
He never offered him a job, but it said on the note, "Please keep in touch." And
you should have followed up on that, Bill. Hey, it's Kirby.
I know.
I've gotten over my Tourette's, and I could be in one of your shows.
Yeah, I should have. You live and learn, Judy.
Yeah,
what you do. You live and you learn at the same time. Sure.
Some of us, anyway.
How about this? You know, I don't know that we discussed this at all yesterday, but this was a big story. The mascot for the New York Mets. Mr. Matt got in trouble. He got fired.
Big baseball head.
I'm picturing somewhere, and I don't know if this is in Los Angeles or New York, but somewhere, Mr. Matt and Kathy Griffin are sitting down to lunch right now, and they're discussing what an awful week they've had.
Each of them having a double martini.
Right.
What went wrong?
Which one of us screwed up bigger?
I only have four fingers. What?
Wouldn't it be fun to be sitting at the next table and listening to that conversation?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Met and Kathy Griffin both
Their
complaining.
Phones would be blowing up.
Oh, nonstop. Nonstop.
You just hear the tweets coming in.
Nonstop. Well, all right. So Mr. Met, here's what's going on. For those of you who don't know the story, but I think everyone does at this point, it's a New York Mets game, and Mr. Met is one of their mascots. There's also a Mrs. Met, by the way. She's not even a part of this. She behaved herself. She's fine.
But no, I mean really a Mrs. Met mascot?
Yeah. They have a man and a woman.
Oh, okay.
And both of them...
I thought maybe he just had a wife.
No, he does have... I'm guessing he's got a wife as well.
And it's a real person in there. It's a man in
there. It's a guy.
Okay. So Mr. Met.
So the crowd is taunting Mr. Met. They're yelling things at Mr. Met. And somebody says something about his mother, the original Mrs. Met. Or I think it's actually
Mama Met.
Mrs. Metkowski. He had the name shortened for show business, but their real name is Metkowski.
And by the way, they were Met fans.
Oh, huge Met fans.
Yeah. No, I mean, the people yelling. They weren't even. Yeah. It wasn't like it was the other.
No, in New York, you heckle your own mascot. Like in other parts of the country, you would heckle. Like if the Philly Fanatic came to town, we'd give him his business.
Right. Yeah. Get out. Get out of our town, buddy.
But in New York, there's a hostility there. They heckle their own mascot. It's more homegrown.
Yeah. Did the Mets lose that game?
The Mets have been losing. They're having
a horrible season. Okay. So the Mets fans are already in a bad way.
Yeah. We're a month and a half into the season. They're already just.
Right. They're not going
nuts.
Anywhere. Okay. So
they're yelling at Mr. Met.
Because it's his fault.
Yeah. It's always the mascot's fault. If a team goes south, the first person.
No hits. We're going to kill you.
Right. It's got to be the mascot. Who else could it be? All right, so
we'll get a hit off your head, dude.
So somebody, some Met fan, quote unquote, says something to Mr. Met about his mom, which, as you know,
that's
serious. Mm-hmm. So then there's videotape of this of Mr. Met, the guy dressed in the outfit he's wearing a Met outfit and he's got a big baseball for a head. He turns around and he flips off the fan, right? Which you do not do, right? So the Mets
really, because I'm thinking he deserved it.
You know, in a weird way, I'm with you on that. And I'm also impressed by the fact that he knew it's actually three fingers.
It's a thumb?
Small finger. It's hard to discern whether or not it's a thumb. It's just kind of a small finger on each side and then a larger middle finger. Not really a thumb.
That's a hand?
It's like a cartoon version of a hand.
So he had a middle finger.
Yeah, but it's impressive to me that he knew that in a moment where you'd need to flip somebody off, it's easy to do in the Mr. Met outfit.
Right.
Like it didn't take him a while to go, okay.
Which finger should I use?
I got to move this over. I got to press this over.
He just flicked it right off. The bird came right out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So the Met said, we got to let him go. We got to fire him.
No, I don't think so.
I think they're firing him.
Oh, they said that he wouldn't be in that costume anymore.
Oh, he's still going to work for the company in some way. I say GM, give him a general manager's job.
Yeah, right.
He's got a brain. He moves quicker.
Put him in charge of security.
Yes.
Well, and this goes back to our guest earlier.
Akilah.
The etiquette.
Achilles,
be careful because someone's going to have their. Since someone was yelling at the mascots, probably 15 people had their phones out filming it.
Yeah. You can't get away with anything. No, now everyone has a camera. All right. So here's what I found. Over at CBS, they put together, and I didn't even know such a thing existed. It's a list of do's and don'ts if you're going to be the mascot of a team. These are things that they require of you or they say you really shouldn't do because you represent a sports empire. So, you know, we would appreciate it if there's certain things you want to do, other things you don't want to do.
Right. When you're wearing the baseball on your head, here's what we expect of you.
Right. Because there's decorum and you're representing a fine tradition. All right. So here's the do's and don'ts lists for any future mascots out there. Number one, don't talk. Mascots are supposed to be seen, not heard, and then in big letters, ever. Now, I get that because think about this. Like if you went to Disney World and they have people dressed up like various Disney characters, if they talked, it would ruin the illusion because you'd go, that guy doesn't sound like Goofy. He just sounds like a guy from Ocala, Florida.
Be a guy in, Minnie Mouse's costume. So, we don't want
not talk.
Okay.
Unless... I wonder if you did the voice like real well, if they would look the other way on that, if you could impress upon them the fact that...
This is how a baseball would sound.
Right. Right. Trust me. Yeah, that's perfect. All right, then talk. Please. Then you can talk. All right, so don't talk is rule number one. Number two, do dance like no one is watching. That's a strangely worded sentence. Do dance like no one is watching. It says, no one can see you, so... Lose all your inhibitions and shake what your mama gave you. So they're saying, if you didn't have the mascot head on, you'd be a little self-conscious. Like, oh, if I do this dance, a lot of people are going to be staring at me and stuff. But they're saying you're in a costume. It's not you anymore.
Right.
Have at it. Go to town. It says, don't. Now, this one I get. And this one is especially for you, Kathy Griffin, if you're listening. Don't take the head off the mascot in public. Now, if Kathy Griffin were to stand with a New York, like a Mr. Mets head, a bloodied Mr. Mets head, yeah, that would bring this whole thing full circle.
Well, and the fans would applaud.
They'd flip her off. You killed Mr. Met.
And this, during this baseball season, they would applaud. Yes, right. We know. We know.
Right. It says, the last thing you want to do is freak out a kid. Boy, that's true, too.
Oh, yeah, no.
Whose image of a mascot might be shattered if he or she knows that there's a real person in the costume?
All right. That's just ridiculous.
I think most kids are aware of the fact that Ribby was not real. Rhubarb was not real. Andy the Clown, was he real?
But I get the suspension of reality because even we as adults.
Right.
When I see a mascot, I do not think about who's in there. When I'm, you know, at a Hawks game.
You suspend belief. Tony That's Hawk. Tommy Hawk.
You do. I mean,
did you say Tony Hawk?
No. Who was
Tommy Hawk. Not Tony Hawk. He's a skateboarder.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But there's a guy in there.
Yes. I never think about that. I just think about that Hawk coming down with that big drum and
come over here
and give me a t-shirt.
It's an exciting moment.
It is. And so even as adults, I get it. Yeah, you can't You can't talk. You can't
Don't take your head off.
Take your head off. No.
Do not be head of mascot.
Those are all very good roles.
Right.
Does it address the don't point your finger?
Yeah. There's more of that. Listen to this one. This is almost identical to what you're asking. Don't do anything dumb, it says in the list of mascots, do's and don'ts. As a mascot, you're representing an institution or a team that wants you to create warm and fuzzy feelings and not shame. So, translated, that means if you're representing the New York Mets, don't be flipping off fans because it makes everybody look
bad.
Right.
Maybe he should have just hung his head and walked off and made them feel bad.
Right.
For razzing him.
Right. For making fun of his mom.
His mom. But he'd had enough, apparently.
I have to say this. Only in New York would they go so deep as to go, I'm not just going to make fun of you. I'm going to rip on your mom.
I know. What?
The guy dressed as a baseball.
Who are these people who go to these games? Come on.
I don't know. It says here's the do one. Do treasure the opportunity. What does that mean? It means it is a gift to be able to entertain people. Judy, I tell you this every morning I come in and I tell you this. It is a gift what we have.
You give us a gift every day.
Well, that's very nice of you. And you always ask me if I have the receipt.
Always. I return it every day. Every day I go, nope. Still hasn't got me what I wanted.
I appreciate that. A lot of people wouldn't, but I do. It is a gift to be able to entertain people anonymously. And that should not be wasted or taken for granted. It's interesting that they said anonymously, isn't it? That's very telling.
You need to get rid of your inhibitions and be this fabulous, but you know what?
Yeah.
You're not getting any credit.
Right, right. You are a guy in an outfit. That's all you are.
Yeah, right. We're making this sound like it's way better than it is.
Please.
And you're going to be hot in that outfit.
Yeah.
And too bad.
Yeah. Hot temperature-wise or hot emotionally?
Probably both.
Both, a little bit of both.
Well, as we learned, Mr. Met is a little bit hot.
You know what's weird? Just between you and me. I hope the mic isn't on. Is it, Dan? No, this is not. This is just between me and you. Here's what I found out, and this is kind of disturbing. I went on a couple of Disney cruises. And when you go on the Disney cruises, I can't speak for all Disney cruises, but this happens with the two that I was on. They have ladies dressed up like the Disney princesses.
Mm-hmm. Ariel.
They go nuts. Yeah, Sleeping Beauty, Snow White, Ariel, Belle. I'm trying to think of who else was there. Like five or six
enough.
Of them. All right, yeah. I'm a grown man, and I just reeled off four Disney princesses.
I know.
All right. So,
because you went to their tea parties. Go ahead.
Right. So here's what I heard is that there are guys there that are so enchanted with these women dressed like Ariel and Sleeping Beauty and Snow White that it's not uncommon for them to hit on them. Isn't that twisted? That's really twisted, isn't it?
But again, you suspend your belief.
Right.
And
so is the guy hitting on Snow White, or is he hitting on a girl who's pretty and looks like
Snow White?
He is, isn't he?
Yes, that's
he go,
all right. We need to stop this conversation.
Look,
but
I know you live with seven guys. I get that.
I wish I were one of them.
Right.
I've always thought I was dopey.
I'm a little vertically challenged in that I have a little too much height for the kind of guy that you like to room with, but I would appreciate
but
you getting.
Would you consider?
Right.
Would you consider living with me?
What
in
if
a,
I crouch down?
Would you consider living with me in a tree?
Let's say I crouch. Right.
Or under the sea.
Right. Even better. Way even better. All right. Let's take a quick break. We've got news coming up in just a little bit. And then Rich Lankoff comes by and we'll talk law. Stick around. It's Bill F. And it's Judy Pylak in for Wendy on WGN. Brian, thanks so much. It's Bill F. And it's Judy Pylak. Judy has been kind enough to sit in for Wendy today. Wendy will be back on Monday. In studio with us right now is our friend Rich Lankoff. Rich is one third of Bryce Downey and Lankoff LLC. Which third are you? I can never remember.
Which third? There's my mic. I'm the most important third.
The most important third. You're also
like a true lawyer.
The Canadian third. I'm Canadian, so it's actually not really a third. It's like 30% of a third.
Whatever. Oh, it is.
Whatever the math on that is.
We got to figure out the conversion rate. There's no other way. And then you're also part of Legal Face Off, which can be heard on WGN Plus. Thank you for being here.
I really appreciate being here, as always.
All right. There's a lot going on in the world of law. Number one, the Kathy Griffin story keeps taking more and more weird twists. Now, earlier she said that there was a violation of her First Amendment rights. Do you see it that way?
Well, yeah, she hired Lisa Bloom, who was a very prominent attorney out in L.A., to now allege that she is the victim, that she was merely exercising her constitutional rights for free speech. Listen, certainly she has the right to say what she wants. We all know you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. The question legally here is whether she broke any laws. And one of the laws that she could have broken is one that deals with threatening a president, right? The question immediately after she made this video was whether she can be arrested for threatening the sitting president by holding up this decapitated head. The answer is no. What she did was, not a good idea, we all agree, but protected constitutionally and legally as free speech. There's a case back in 1969. The Supreme Court actually took up a case involving a Vietnam protester who said that he's not going to Vietnam. And if he was, he would find a rifle. And the words he used was the first person in his sights would be LBJ. Mm. And the question was whether that is a threat against the president or protected speech. The Supreme Court of the United States said that that was political hyperbole and did not raise to the level of a threat. So to arrest Kathy Griffin for what she said, she would have to have incited someone to violence or threatened violence herself, which clearly she didn't do.
Couldn't you very easily make the case that she is an artist and she was expressing herself artistically?
For sure. I mean, listen, I think what she did, we all agree, was not smart. It was in poor taste. But she's a comedian. She's a satirist. That's certainly within what satirists do. Lots of people on the left are pointed to Ted Nugent, who was a guest of Trump in the White House, in the Oval Office, who made some similar statements about President Obama. I think what she said was certainly within her constitutional rights and certainly does not raise to the level of threatening the president.
I can't find this anywhere, but I said this to Judy earlier today. My guess is that she showed up to a photo shoot and either the photographer or somebody who coordinated the shoot had this as a prop and said, look, we're going to do a couple of different pictures with you. A couple of the pictures, you'll be holding up this head. I'd be shocked if this was Kathy Griffin's idea. She went along with it. She's an accomplice. So does that matter at all in the context of her getting in trouble or not?
No, I think, if she held up the head, let's say, and said, oh, you should do this to the president, you should go decapitate him,
right,
then the question would be, to answer your question, whether you can blame someone else for giving her the head. No. I mean, the ultimate, she's the one who held it up. She's the one who used those words
in
our hypothetical. So, the ultimate responsibility would be with her. Now, you could certainly point, if this was a criminal investigation, if someone else was involved, the police would probably look at co-conspirators, to your point, someone who gave her the mask. But if she said those words, she would be the buck would stop with her.
Right.
And I think she explained it by saying she was just parroting his own words against him, his sexist words about blood coming out of, I forget who he said, someone's eyes.
Wasn't it Carly Fiorina?
Yes, yep. Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. So, there's a good legal excuse.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've represented some comedians. I mean, in the world of comedy, it's like there's really not, I mean, as you all know, you deal with comics every day, there's really nothing that's out of bounds. I mean, there really should be nothing that is out of bounds. Now, if advertisers and CNN as a company decide that they don't want to employ her, they don't want her as an endorser, they have every right to do so. But this outrage about what she did, in my opinion, is a little bit, you know, is unwarranted. Comedians have wide latitude. You know, if you talk to a comedian, they would tell you there's nothing out of bounds. You interview comedians every day. There's nothing out of bounds. Right. You might not agree that it's funny, but, you know, she shouldn't be, in my opinion, vilified for
it. Right. It's really overblown. And why do you think that is?
You know what? I think despite the fact that Trump blames the liberal media for everything, this is the case where the media is really running with it. It's, you know, a bright, shiny object, right? It's, I mean,
yeah, she said herself.
And it's true. I mean, it's something that people could latch on to. I think there are a lot of people that don't like Kathy Griffin and don't like comedians in general. And I think it is shocking to the average person to see the president's, you know, effigy being held by her. So, yeah, I think like most things, this will have a short life and be on to the next issue.
But she's already lost. I mean, the CNN job was an important thing, especially the New Year's Eve show that she's been doing. I think she's done it for 9 years with Anderson Cooper. And it was surprising how quickly Anderson Cooper, I understand him doing this, but he quickly distanced himself and said, this isn't something that I endorse. And he went out of his way to say, this is her, you know, even though they've been close friends.
I agree. Surprising given, you know, I don't know him, but I watch him a lot. And he sort of is anti-establishment. He wouldn't be someone who would jump on board with the critics right away. So I was a little surprised. On the other hand, remember, the most powerful man on earth is calling Anderson Cooper's employer fake news constantly.
Right.
So Anderson Cooper has to sort of be even more objective and say, I'm going to criticize her. Because
right, he has
I'll
to walk a fine line.
Exactly. This is going to be criticized as, oh, this is just CNN as usual with her liberal bent.
Where do you think this will go? What will happen?
I think legally it's going nowhere. I mean, you know, her portraying herself as a victim, I think, is just a bad mistake. I think, you know, she did the right thing by apologizing.
Yeah.
I think it's going nowhere. I think her career is going to really take a hit. But ultimately, again, in comedy, I mean, she'll recover in that regard. But from a legal perspective, I don't think there's any exposure to her civilly or criminally.
All right. Let's switch over to Tiger Woods just a little bit. Tiger Woods had a little bit of a driving problem the other day.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, you know, it's in the world of mugshots, that was one of the worst thing you've seen. I think, what's his name? Nick Nolte was probably the only one that was worth.
Nick Nolte's his Hall of Fame.
Hawaiian shirt. Just wearing a Hawaiian shirt in of itself in a mugshot, I think, is a mistake.
What was he thinking?
But that wild hair was, it was almost like Coolio-like, his hair.
Yes, it was.
But yeah, this was a bad look for Tiger.
Now, the first thing that happened was the assumption was made that he was drinking and driving, but Tiger Woods maintains that this was some sort of a prescription drug, right?
Yeah, he said, you know, we've all seen the video by now. He said on the dash cam that he was not drinking, and usually, you know, everyone says that.
Yeah.
Usually don't admit to it. But
Was there a breathalyzer on the spot or not?
There was not.
There was not.
There was one subsequent to that, and he blew a 0.00. So when he said to the police that he was not drinking, he was actually being truthful. But as we now know, he was taking prescription medication, perhaps abusing it, perhaps taking too much. You know, certainly a normal dose of medication would not normally lead you to act that way.
Well, what is the law on that? Can you drive a car when you take prescription drugs?
Well, you can, but depending on the amount you take and depending whether it's a legal or illegal substance, obviously, right? I mean, you can take an illegal substance and drive. You can take a legal substance like painkillers, but you can't overdo it, right?
So
there's some question about how much he took. Obviously, either he was not taking the right kind or he was taking way too much, because what we saw in the video was a man who was, you know, not fit to be on the road.
But either way, in that case, it sounds like he could probably get out of that. Regardless if he took too much, he didn't know, or if it affected him differently than he thought. I mean,
That's a great point. I mean, the question ultimately is not what his intent was or what his state of mind was. Because, listen, if you were, you know, if Tiger Woods crashed into you and killed you, your state would not be concerned about what his mental state was. They'd be concerned about whether he was under the influence of drugs when he took it. So it is a mitigating factor if he shows that he was not aware of it, or he was taking the wrong prescription, or maybe someone misprescribed it. You know, maybe there's someone else. But at the end of the day, you know, the police have shown, largely by the video, that he was not in a condition to drive. And that's enough. Now, the question is what the sentence will be. He'll plead out, you know, the fact that I think he has he has the prior that we all know of with the car accident.
Right.
With his wife, hitting the golf clubs, I think, smashing the windshield.
Yeah.
But I don't think he has a prior in Florida for DUI.
Okay.
So that's a big factor.
This is still considered DUI, even though...
Yeah, they might call it DWI. There's different names. But yeah, it's considered driving under the influence of a controlled substance. In this case, prescription medication.
How is there not a breathalyzer test administered there?
Well, you know...
You have the right to refuse it, but I've heard that that's not in your best interest to refuse one, right?
Correct. Breathalyzers in almost every state can be refused. You know, you can't be compelled. It's basically a violation of your constitutional rights against self-incrimination.
But
so
let's say
if you turn it down, though, you could automatically lose your license.
But he didn't refuse, right?
My understanding is he did not refuse.
They didn't even offer it.
Correct.
Offer it.
Why?
There you go.
Why wouldn't they have?
Think about it. Maybe they didn't smell liquor. Maybe it was obvious that he was.
But they pulled him over for erratic driving.
Right, and he was on drugs, but maybe a police officer would have more of experience to recognize that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was cooperative, according to the police report. We saw the video that he was cooperative. So I don't know why they did administer it on the spot, but they did afterwards. And, again, he blew a 0.00, so alcohol was not a factor. But, yeah, I think he'll plead this case out. I don't think he wants it to go any further. I think he'll probably get a very small sentence, probably a fine for sure.
And he won't lose his license.
Generally not for a first-time offense if he pleads guilty to it.
Although he's been having trouble driving and putting for about 6 or 7 years.
Yes, yeah. So maybe driving the golf cart will be out. But, yeah, I suspect he'll plead this out fairly quickly.
Oh, all right. Let's take him out of the equation. If you're a person who has been driving, you've been drinking and then driving, and the police officer says, here's a breathalyzer, but you have the right to refuse it. If you know you've been drinking first, you don't want to take that breathalyzer, do you?
Yeah. Most criminal defense lawyers will tell you that if you are pretty clear that you've been drinking and that you will fail either field sobriety test or a breathalyzer, then you should refrain from giving that evidence up because that breathalyzer, while you can attack it a couple different ways, generally it's like, you know, rock solid evidence.
Yeah,
so technically in court.
But once you refuse, you automatically lose your license.
Exactly. And you can be sentenced for that. But yeah, you don't, you know, the police then don't have the advantage of that breathalyzer.
Right.
So most criminal defense lawyers will tell you that if you have been drinking and you get pulled over, that's not evidence you want to give to the police.
Right.
And first of all, what we should say is you're an idiot if you have been drinking.
Of course.
Yeah, why would you do it?
And then, but legally, don't.
So if you look in the mirror and you see Nick Nolte looking back at you, don't. First of all, don't get near a car.
Right. But don't call Tiger Woods to drive you either.
that's a bad carpool. All right. Speaking of sports, and this is so sad and awful. But the LeBron James story about what went on with his house is, I can't believe it's 2017 and this sort of thing still goes on.
Terrible, yeah. As we all heard, LeBron James on the eve of the finals, his gate in L.A. was desecrated with the N-word. The question legally that we'll be covering on our show is whether that's a hate crime as defined by the California Penal Code.
What do you think?
Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, there's no question that using that word in the course of a crime, and you know, graffiti is a crime, qualifies as a hate crime.
How could you argue otherwise?
Right.
It's as clean cut as can be.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. The police are investigating.
Even though it's on a personal home, a private home.
Sure.
Because generally we hear about hate crimes, it's, you know, in a synagogue or a public property, but...
Yeah, you're right. Most typically you see it with religious organizations, but yeah, targeting someone for their race or gender, which certainly is the case here, is defined as a hate crime. And the advantage of classifying it as a hate crime, either in Illinois or California where he is or anywhere, is that it carries enhanced sentences. And the prosecutors can go after the people who did it for a longer penalty. So, you know, like you said, Bill, this is a pretty clear-cut case of a hate crime. Obviously incredibly unfortunate.
His way of handling it was very delicate. He just said, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he just said it's very hard to be a black person in America, which is so sad and so true. Why would a guy who all he does is his job, he goes out and plays amazing basketball, So just by virtue of that, why should he have to come home and see this on his own?
And he's kind of beloved, right? I mean, people like him.
Very
he's
much
not
so.
He hasn't done anything that would
right.
You know.
Yeah, LeBron has had, you know, what now, an almost 20-year career. It's been pretty unblemished. Earlier, I think people were a little more critical of him for maybe being a little immature, a little selfish, but the last decade or so, he's been a stellar model citizen. I mean, certainly on the basketball court, incredible. Off the court, been, I think, a great role model.
Yeah.
No controversy. You don't hear him in the news. You know, I think he's been very articulate in the area of race relations. He's come out and spoken against it, you know, against racism. So, yeah, incredibly unfortunate. His kids have to deal with it. I think I agree with you that he handled it very appropriately with a lot of class. And, you know, hopefully these perpetrators will be prosecuted fairly quickly.
Have they been caught? Do they know who did it? They haven't been, right?
Not yet, no.
Right. Oh, terrible.
I mean, I would assume he would have some pretty heavy-duty surveillance.
Yeah, that's interesting. And maybe, but since there's that hate crime element, maybe it's they're just going slower and taking their time.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, as you've seen from lots of these kind of cases, it takes time, you know, even though it might be, maybe they have the video of the people. But
right, you don't want to make a mistake.
You got to take your time, exactly.
You, as a lawyer, know how that goes. One little mistake and
exactly.
They're off.
Not the lawyers ever make mistakes. Never.
No.
We know that.
No, you just find them.
Exactly.
Right.
And exploit them.
Exactly.
But when you need to.
Right.
Of course.
Now, once, let's say they catch the people who did this, right? So then from a standpoint of who's suing who, is it LeBron James himself who then has to sue the people who did this, or is this the people versus and the people who how
yeah,
does that
exactly.
break down?
So in the criminal context, it would be the state of California that would be prosecuting these offenders. So yeah, it would be the people versus whoever.
Yeah.
It's a criminal case. So this is, you know, they'd be charged with graffiti, vandalism, whatever charge. It's a hate crime. Obviously.
Is a hate crime a felony?
It's a it is a felony in California. And it again leads to enhanced sentences. So, much more than arresting someone for, you know, if they spray painted, you know, Cavs suck on his gate, that would
different
not
be, story.
Yeah, it would be a lot different.
Yeah.
Enhanced sentences. And, you know, there is a civil component possibly. He could go after them civilly, but the likelihood of that is very, very small because, you know, LeBron James has a lot of money. These offenders probably don't. He could certainly make an example of them, but the cause of action civilly for doing that, you know, you would probably claim intentional infliction of emotional distress. There's something there. Maybe he would go after them, but criminally is where they will pay the price.
How is it that hate crimes could only be a felony in certain states but not all states? You would think that would be a kind of a universal thing, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, there's a push, I know, in some states to make it a felony where there's still a misdemeanor. I think in some states, frankly, you've got vestiges of racism, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we just saw in the last month in New Orleans the statues commemorating some of the Civil War soldiers are coming down. So,
yeah,
I think in some states they're a little bit slower to be as progressive as some other states.
It's only 2017,
yeah, exactly.
Bill. Let's slow down a bit, huh?
That's
the worst. It's embarrassing. Whenever I hear about these hate crimes, I literally am embarrassed.
I know.
For my race.
Yeah. Like,
what is wrong with you people?
That this still goes on. It's incredible.
Hard to believe.
And then another story somehow also involving sports to some extent, and that's the story, the U of I story about the former football player. And I can never pronounce his name properly, Rich, so help me out with the name.
Jovanovic, I think, is how I pronounce
it. Jovanovic?
Jovanovic, yeah. Not to be confused with the Tom Cruise character in All the Right Moves.
No.
That was Stefan Djordjevic.
Wow. Impressive.
Absolutely. I know my Tom Cruise football
movies. Who was the girlfriend in that?
That was Leia Thompson.
Man.
Well, you know the whole story about slowing down a part of that. There's a whole thing about slowing down part of that movie when they're having relations.
Yes.
It's apparently the only scene of Tom Cruise's Top Gun, I'll say, in the history of film. Yeah.
I didn't know that, but thank you for
sharing that. You know, not that I am engaged.
And exactly what's the minute count that the somebody
I mean, not
that
I know that, but it's 36.
That's awkward.
Of all the right
How
movies.
Awkward is that? All right.
A little shout out to our friends at Mr. Skin.
Yeah.
So he was a former University of Illinois football player, Simon Jinovich, who sued the University of Illinois. He alleged that the former coach, Tim Beckman, who's no longer the coach, abused him.
Mm-hmm.
He said that he made him play through pain and he was the victim of emotional abuse. So he left the team. He sued the university, and just this week, they announced a $250,000 settlement against the University of Illinois, which obviously means against the people of Illinois.
Right.
And, you know, it's a trend, I think, in college athletics that you see lawsuits like this. We've seen other examples. And Tim Beckman was fired not just for lack of success on the football field, but because allegedly he was very tough on his players. Now, you know, the question always is, you're a football coach. It's football.
Right.
Toughen up.
Hey, I'm sorry, you don't get paid enough?
Yeah.
They get paid like ridiculous money.
Even the college athletes, we suspect maybe. But, yeah, so there's a trend of players complaining about this kind of thing. We saw a lot of that in, there was a couple of universities, I think Syracuse, or Rutgers, the AD got fired as a result. So, yeah, this settlement was just announced this week.
What does this mean?
I feel like there was a female coach who was fired too.
Oh, yeah?
I think that was the Rutgers coach, perhaps.
Oh.
But there was a couple of, maybe it was another university, but there's been a couple of prominent examples.
How retroactive can these cases be? And I ask because I hate to single this guy out, but Bobby Knight was known as one of the toughest basketball coaches of all time, college basketball coaches, and a lot of players over the years have said, yeah, playing for him was quite an experience, and I think we know that means it was a rough couple of years.
Right.
So can they go back now and say, look, he was my coach 25 years ago, but I'm still wiry and nervous because of him?
Yeah, it's a great question. Usually the statute of limitations for these kinds of actions are 2 years. So the answer to that
question
is no. You know, the idea being that after the statute of limitations, the reliability of the evidence diminishes, and people's memories fade. And
2 years, though? Really?
That's it?
Yeah, for this kind of loss. Mm. Now, there are other possibilities, but generally, yeah, it's 2 years. For Bobby Knight's athletes, they're probably out of luck.
I hate to single him out, but that's the first, as I read about this case, he was the first guy I thought of because who knows how many, and it's not just him, there's plenty of other coaches too, who just were, they were rough guys.
If Bobby White was coaching in today's environment, he would have been fired a long time ago and he would be the subject of many lawsuits. I mean, one of his most infamous.
The chair?
Well, the chair, but also Calbert Chaney was one of his star players.
Yeah.
And what, he called him boy, or he did something with a noose, something like that. Either one of those against an African-American player that is shocking to think about in today's society.
Sure.
So, yeah, Bobby Knight, I think, would have a rough time in today's world.
I would imagine. Thank you for coming
by. Thank you very much.
Greatly appreciated. It's Rich Lankoff. The podcast is always available at WGN Plus and WGNRadio.com, and that's Legal Face Off. You do a great job with that. And if you need Rich's services for any reason, Bryce Downey and Lankoff LLC is the way to go. Thank you, Rich.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
We'll take a quick break, and then Judy and I will close things off. Stay here. It's Bill and Judy in for Wendy on WGN. Hey, Judy, guess what?
What?
That's what. I love doing that.
Knock, knock.
I'm going to tell who's there. The show is over.
Orange.
Yeah, orange who? I love this one.
Orange, I messed it up, though.
The show is over. You came
in. It's over? What?
You hit the ball so far out of the park. You're like the Kyle Schwarber.
Oh, come on.
Of WGN.
Go on.
You are. You are. You broke the sign. You hit the ball so hard you broke the sign.
I just as long as I didn't hit Mr. Met.
No, you did not. Because, you know, if you did, you know what he'd do.
Yeah,
he'd flip you off.
That's
his way.
I could just deal with that.
We want to thank Judy, certainly. We want to thank Dan Long, who came in and filled in for
Dan,
Kevin.
Dan, the man.
I want to thank me. Boy,
yes, Bill,
I did great. I was great today.
Bill, if you will.
Boy, was I good. Thanks to everybody who made the costumes and the sets. They were magnificent.
My script was awesome.
The script was double-spaced.
Not one mistake.
Everybody was happy.
It's all good.
So thanks, everybody. We hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday with more stuff.
I won't, but...
You will, but you'll come in and do some
news. I'll do my news,
Yeah.
I'll do what I do best.
Yeah.
One of the things.
One of the many things. Thanks, everybody. Have a terrific weekend. Bye, Judy.